Welcome to the Federal Sales Sherpa Show featuring Eileen Kent. On today's show, Eileen will be discussing your investment in a winning proposal. And now, here is your Federal Sales Sherpa, Eileen Kent.
Hello, welcome to the Federal Sales Sherpa Show. My name is Eileen Kent. Today it's just you and me. We're going to be talking about a couple of critical issues, some news items in regards to the Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative update. We're going to talk a little bit about the cost of writing a proposal, and also we're going to talk about win themes. So let's talk about news. You might want to get your pen out because there is a very, very important event coming up on December 19th, 2013 at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, December 19th, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Here's what's happening. The President's Management Advisory Board is going to be discussing the Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative. And they're going to allow you to sit in on this meeting because it's open to the public. So what I'd like you to do is grab your pencil and write this phone number down. 888-606-9802. 888-606-9802. And the passcode to get into this special teleconference meeting is 993-7336. Again, 993-7336. And this very special open to the public President's Management Advisory Board meeting is happening on December 19th, 2013 at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, why is this important to contractors? Well, you need to understand FSSI. The Federal Supply Sourcing Initiative, it's a good idea. In fact, the federal government is attempting to consolidate about 500 plus billion procurement power to shortlist the number of suppliers and get better prices for commodities. But unfortunately, in 2012, the Office of Management and Budget announced through a memo in early 2012 that those suppliers approved as FSSI sources would become what they call mandatory sources. So what that means is 22 agencies have agreed that they will only buy from those mandatory sources, which eventually limits competition and significantly requires agencies to only go down to one, and that limits competition and it really cuts off the small business. In fact, we've had Professor Samuel Bornstein on the show, and he is a 35-year professor of accounting and taxation at Keene University School of Business in Union, New Jersey. So he's dedicated a significant amount of his time for free to inform the public about this issue, Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative. According to Professor Sam Bornstein, the cost is actually to GSA schedule holders, contractors who built their business serving their local agencies, bases, parks, and VA hospitals. And now these contractors who have spent tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands or millions on their GSA schedule, their sales team, and their distribution lines, it's going to cost jobs and local business. And in this economy, according to Professor Samuel Bornstein, that we just can't afford to lose those local jobs. So what happens is, and we also had another guest on the show, Marvin Steinloff, and he is on the 51V Hardware Superstore GSA schedule, and he's on the marketing committee for the GSA schedule. Now, he says as a vendor that he believes that the large businesses are going to get a handle on these Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative contracts because they can negotiate lower rates nationally with the suppliers to them. So it's really, really cutting out, and they're calling it cutting out the middleman, but it's really cutting out the small businesses that have been serving their local bases all these years. So, you know, according to Joseph Jordan, he's the administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy at OMB, he says that mandatory is what we're moving toward. That's what the government is moving toward, mandatory sources. And he says there will be winners and losers, and not all who want to sell to the government can sell to the government. But here's the problem. There's already been people that have been selling to the government. In fact, let me give you a little more description of what this FSSI is. The Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative is a very special blanket purchase agreement that only GSA schedule holders may apply to win. And GSA will be shortlisting the GSA schedule holders to a handful of contractors. So, for example, in the GSA Schedule 75, which is the office supplies, they've shortlisted the 500 contractors to like 20, resulting in devastating effects to the office supply industry, according to Professor Bornstein. Specifically, the small businesses on GSA schedule are getting hurt. And now GSA plans to continue to implement the FSSI program across MRO Hardware Superstore, janitorial sanitary products, IT, furniture, auto supplies, and many more, things that are commodity-based. So as your federal sales Sherpa, I can't underline it enough to emphasize the fact that you need to be at this meeting. Contractors need to show up in large numbers at this meeting. You know, it's on December 19th. Isn't it a coincidence that it's during the holidays so that they hope that the numbers are low and they can say that they put it out there for the public, they invited the public, they allowed them to come, and they were able to do this as a good faith effort. But if not many vendors show up and nobody really cares about it, they're not going to make it a very large issue. And you as a vendor to the federal government need to be in on this meeting. They need to see the number of vendors that have listened in, because this does affect everybody in the industry. So take a couple of minutes on December 19th, dial in at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at 888-606-9802. And here's the passcode again, 993-7336. And also take a moment to go over to Professor Samuel Bornstein's website and listen or take a look at his documentation about the Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative, so you can learn more about it. So you can go to his website, BornsteinandSongFSSI.com. So go take a look at that. Again, dial in to this very important President's Management Advisory Board meeting, December 19th, 3 p.m., 888-606-9802, passcode 993-7336. Okay, so now let's talk a little bit about the cost of writing a proposal. What are some of the things that you need to consider before you go through an entire proposal effort? You need to know what the real cost is behind actually putting forth an effort to bring the team together, etc. So let's just talk a little bit about what it takes on the front end before you write a proposal in terms of time and effort and gathering the lead and the intelligence. Now, we have had some great guests on the show. We've had Carl Dixon talking to us a little bit about the bid no bid decision, which we'll talk about a little bit more today. We've had Brian Lindholm. He's been on the Federal Sales Sherpa Show talking about black hat meeting, discussing whether or not it's a go and what you need to uncover before you go after it. We've had Judy Brandt talk about backcasting, needing to look at past data in regards to who has been already contracting with that agency and knowing a little bit about who the current incumbents are. All these elements are really important. They take time, effort, travel, salespeople, and an investment. So the first step in terms of your investment is before you write any proposal, hopefully you've been in front of your customer, which means you probably have had to travel a little bit. You've had to make several phone calls. You've needed to present or prepare some sort of capabilities briefing, or maybe you put together a webinar for them, or maybe you went to travel and talked to them about a specific issue. Maybe you got on the site, and let's say you're in construction or you're in furniture or you're a roofer or you're an architect, and they actually showed you the facility and asked for your ideas. So maybe you've already invested quite a bit early on before even a proposal was on the radar. In fact, Carl Dixon talked about discovery last time. So maybe you did some sales calls. Maybe you went to some trade shows. Maybe your salespeople and your project managers networked with them at a networking event of some sort. All of these are investments toward a proposal, toward going after a proposal. So the proposal investment doesn't happen when the announcement for proposals, request for proposals come out on FedBizOps. Hopefully you've already invested some time, talent, conversation, travel, driving, gas money to get in front of your clients and talk to them. That is the first step, is to take a look at how much time and effort your team has already put into this agency to develop strong relationships, discover what their needs are, and have what we call an information edge. We'll come back to the information edge when we talk about win themes on the second half of the show. So how much is that costing you? Do you have one person out in the field talking to people? Do you have a project manager that's already on site? Are you part of a networking group that you go to every month? How much is this costing you to either be a member or the hours or the travel? You need to add that up. Now let's say the bid hit the streets and you're going to rally the team together to write this proposal. Now, the size of the team is going to depend on the size of the proposal. So let's say, for example, it's an indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contract, IDIQ. Remember, we talked about IDIQs in our second show, but I'll just give you a quick reminder. It's typically a contract that's going to last 1 to 5 years with the opportunity to add optional years. It's usually wrapped around a service. They're negotiating with you your hourly rates or your singular day rates or simple rates for your team, your labor categories. And then when a task happens at that agency or base, you're going to compete with the short list of 1 to 6 other IDIQ holders for each task. So an IDIQ contract usually appears on FedBizOps, and that pretty much invites the entire public to go after it. And then the winners are 1 to 6 vendors who actually are going to be able to bid against each other for the tasks. So this first bid effort is just to win the IDIQ. And usually these bigger IDIQs take one to four people for at least 30 days to work on this proposal. So what you need to add up are the number of people and the number of days that you estimate it will take to write this proposal. Then you need to figure out how many hours per day each of these people are going to be working, and then what are their hourly rate, or maybe the average hourly rate. And don't forget their overhead, the rent for the space, and then consider in the production costs. So here's the formula that I use. The number of people times the number of days times the number of hours times the average per hour rate, which includes the overhead, plus production costs. So that would be your direct proposal investment. Now, there are some other factors you need to consider, which are the indirect proposal investments. The first one is the lost selling time on another project you should have been working on that was probably a winner. So lost selling time in front of other customers because your salespeople and your project managers are working on this proposal. The lost time from the family or friends during evening hours and weekends. That's an investment that you're expecting out of your team and out of yourself. Then let's add in the cost of a demoralized team if you lose. Again, the cost of a demoralized team. If you lose this bid, believe me, your project managers are not going to come back again to help you with the next bid if you keep setting up the team for losses. So add in those costs for the proposal effort. So let's add all of this together. Number of people times number of days times number of hours times the per hour average rate, which includes overhead. Add in production costs brings you to the direct proposal effort. Then add in the lost selling time. Add in the lost time from family and friends. Add in the demoralized team that's not going to help you on the next proposal. How much is this proposal really costing your company? So let me give you an example. Let's say there are four people working on a proposal for the next 30 days. If you average them out at $100 an hour, if you maybe figure in that they're not billable because they're working on this proposal, we're talking approximately $65,000. $65,000. Now, a lot of people look at that and say, well, that's not bad because I'm going after this IDIQ, which is worth $50 million. But it doesn't guarantee you $50 million because an indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contract means exactly that, indefinite. You still need to bid task by task by task, which means each task is going to have its own proposal cost. So also you might want to, that's why it's really, really important to determine what is this bid for? What is this, what are we bidding on? Are we bidding on an IDIQ? That's a bridge like a GSA schedule. If that's the case, after the fact, we're going to need to also invest in salespeople to get people to know that we have this IDIQ and that they'll use it for a contracting vehicle because you need to capture each and every task. And then when you capture the task, you still need to write another proposal for each task. Now, RFQs and task order proposals or response for bids from things like GSA schedule, those are a much quicker turnaround time because they're only going to invite maybe three vendors and only the vendors that own that bridge, either the GSA schedule or an IDIQ contract, only those are allowed to bid on it. But you still need to figure out the price of writing a proposal. Because let's say you're on GSA schedule and you get these invitations through eBuy, you might get an invitation once a week and you're spending entire weekends on proposals and then you keep losing. Remember, on GSA schedule and these IDIQ contracts, they're trying their best to get three bids on each and every task. So if you don't know anything about this opportunity, you're probably going through the entire bid exercise, costing you quite a bit of money, and you're just filling a file. You're loser two or three. Remember, unless you've invested time and energy on the front end of an opportunity way before it hits the streets, you should not be writing this proposal and investing in this proposal. So you really need to consider what is the cost of writing a proposal before we even go after it. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about the bid, no bid process. Now the bid, no bid process will help you determine whether or not you should even go after this bid. So I'm going to ask you some very direct questions. You can write these down and then maybe you might want to ask other questions of yourself in your industry that might be unique. Okay, so let's first start off with who on your team identified the opportunity? Was it a project manager who was already on site? That's the ultimate capture opportunity because your project manager is probably an engineer who's working with the engineer inside and he's discovered a need and he's maybe written a white paper or two. Usually when a project manager uncovers something, the chances are pretty good. Now, if a salesperson has uncovered it, where did they get it from? Did they hear about it in the field or did they simply download it from FedBizOps or download it from eBuy? If you just simply downloaded an opportunity and you haven't heard about it until the day it hits the streets, that's shaky ground that you're on. So, but if the salesperson was in the field talking to the customer, been in front of them for the last 6 months to a year, and he had a discovery process, maybe did some webinars or maybe did a presentation, and now they're giving him an opportunity to bid, that could be a higher chance. So who actually amongst your team uncovered the opportunity? Next question. Who on your team is going to be part of the capture team? And what I mean by capture is capturing intelligence, the information edge that Carl Dixon was talking about in our last meeting. Who's capturing the details about what the customer's telling you what they really want? So hopefully you have a project manager, you have a salesperson that are capturing intel about the actual need way before the bid comes out. Because once the bid comes out, the gates are closed. If the bid has already come out, that's a big indicator that you may not want to bid if you never heard about it before. The next question is, who do we know personally who might be on the evaluation committee? Do you have to know? Well, the end users, the project managers, the engineers, the facility managers, the IT people, the emergency people, whoever you're going to be working side by side with, if you already know them, they're probably going to be on the evaluation committee, and you need to know that they probably have met with other competitors besides you because they want to hedge their bet, even if they told you they wanted you. Do we have any idea at the customer site who developed the statement of work? Now, normally there's a project manager who developed the statement of work, but you know a contractor had a hand in it and helped them long before it ever hit the streets. So did you have a little help on the bid? If you did, then it might be a go for it. Okay, who do we know inside who has a relationship with the customer on the inside? So maybe one of your best customers at one base introduced you to this customer, and they're giving you a say on what the customer thinks of you. Yes, that happens once in a while. I call that the fox. If we have a fox that knows the customer and is giving us some feedback on where we stand, but they're not part of the evaluation committee, then we're in pretty good standing. Is there an existing contract vehicle that we already have that they might use? If they're deciding to change their contract vehicle, are you still able to bid, or do you need to partner with someone? Is this an open bid, or is it a set-aside? If it's a set-aside, does it match the preferences that you carry? Or let's say, for example, they set it aside for a woman-owned business. Are you a woman-owned business, or do you need to partner with a woman-owned business? Do you know the woman-owned business that they prefer? That's the big question. So what other competitors will be coming to the table? You need to assume that your competitors are all over this. Have we discussed this requirement with the customer before the bid hit the streets? What is the customer's ultimate fear? So for example, if you are a small business and they've never worked with you before, the elephant in the room is, are you capable of doing this work? Do you actually need to partner with a larger business with their past performance? Or can you go in there because you've done other business as a small business with other agencies with lots of past performance? So you need to address their fears, the elephant in the room. Are we able to offer ourselves as the safe bet? What's the true value of this opportunity? Why are we actually pursuing it? Is it part of the agencies that we've decided to go after? Or are we just doing this because our ego has been hurt, because our competitor has already been in front of this, and we just found this on FedBizOps? If that's the case, don't bid, because it's going to cost you way too much money just to feed the ego of the owners. What is the reason why the customer will choose us? Now I'd like to talk a little bit about win themes. Usually there is a reason why the customer wants you, and they probably told you way before the bid came out why they want to work with you. Many times I've found that win themes are wrapped around the project manager that they told you they wanted to work with. So if you're seeing on the bid who is your key staff and what is their background, they must have these certifications, etc., you need to be asking yourself, who on our team did they tell us they wanted us to propose? And if you don't know and you're getting out your crystal ball, you're probably going to lose. What did the customer tell you they wanted? A customer-centric approach will be the reason why the customer is going to choose you. And win themes are critical. If you had the person they told you they wanted, and that's your win theme, you're going to be writing about that project manager all throughout your proposal, saying their name over and over and over again, because that's your win theme. If, for example, you have a product that has certain specifications that they need, or a name brand that they currently have on site and they want more of. Those could be win themes, and that could be an opportunity for you to win. This is what we're talking about in terms of information edge. Let's say you have a background or a security clearance, or you have certain knowledge of the actual project, that you're the only expert in this. If you can write the sentence, "We are the only ones who can," or "We are the only ones who have," then you probably have a pretty good opportunity here to win. Now, if you are saying we are the only ones who have the solution, but the customer didn't ask for what you're offering, it's probably too late. You didn't get in there early enough to sell it. So let's say, for example, the bid comes out and they're asking for one thing, and you think your solution is much better than what they asked for. Well, guess what? It's way too late. It's too late. You want to be able to literally answer the mail. If they say what they want is what you have and you're the only one who has it, you've got the win theme to make it happen. What type of procurement is this? If this is a public RFP and an IDIQ, you need to remember that you're going to be opening up other opportunities and you're going to have to write other task order proposals after the fact. Or is this actually a delivery order? And are you able to deliver the delivery order on time? If they're asking for a bid on a Tuesday and they want the whole project to be finished by Friday and you never heard of it before, why in the world are you bidding on this opportunity? You don't have a prayer. Someone already lined it up. So utilizing these bid-no-bid capabilities and questions will help you determine whether or not you should go after this deal. Now, I'm going to ask you two more very sensitive questions. What is the budget that the government is saying, and are you going to make money? If you see that this is not a moneymaker for you, do not go into the proposal effort, because someone else has already figured out how to land this deal at a lower budget rate, and they've already figured out their math on this. Again, if you are saying, "I don't know the answer to that," or "It isn't fair because somebody else might know the answer to that and I don't," you should not be bidding on this proposal. And this show just saved you $65,000 in a proposal effort. Now, a lot of companies say to me, "Well, I got to go after that IDIQ, indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contract, because if I don't, I will never have an opportunity at that base again." That's not true. If you lose this opportunity or you decide not to bid, you can always borrow the bridge from the winner. So you can always work with another vendor who actually has the IDIQ down the road, and you can partner with them. And then the final question is, am I really answering all of these questions accurately? Am I answering all of these questions accurately, or am I using wishful thinking? The issue in terms of writing a winner proposal is being honest with yourself. And I got to share with you that on the teams that I've been on in the past, and I pull out the bid, no bid questions, and here are some classic indicators of a go, no go. When the salesperson says go, 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 and the project manager says no, 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 that usually is an indicator that we shouldn't be bidding. The salespeople need to realize they need to get the project managers out in the field with them. So once, if the team is all on the same page and you have a win theme and everybody knows what's going on in the background, they've pre-written some great specifications and they helped the client in the past and you have past performance, you have a winner on your hands and it's worth investing in a proposal effort. So that's it for this week's edition of the Federal Sales Sherpa Show. My name is Eileen Kent. Thank you for joining me and we'll see you next time.
On the next episode, Eileen will show you how to cut your proposal response time in half. I'm Ed Stevens. Join us next week for another edition of the Federal Sales Sherpa Show.